turn to the book of Galatians. Then looking at church covenant. Tonight we want to get away from that for a week and just give some thoughts. To read Galatians 6, verse 10, and then we'll turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Then the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. Both of these verses make reference to, or speaking to local churches. We see in Galatians 1 and verse 2 that it's written to the churches of Galatia. Ephesians 1 and verse 1, we see it's written to the saints, which are at Ephesus. And then throughout the book, we see that Paul mentions the church there at Ephesus. So he's writing to a local church in the book of Ephesians, writing to the church, local churches of Galatia in the book of Galatians. And in both cases, he uses the term when referring to the Lord's churches as a household, as a household. I want to just bring some thoughts tonight considering the special closeness, special nearness, and intimacy that should exist in the Lord's churches. In so doing, it's important that we distinguish, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this because you all know this, or you certainly should, between the family of God and the church of God. The family of God, of course, speaks of all the saved in heaven and in earth at any given time. All those who have died and their souls are in heaven, they, of course, are in the family of God. All the saved upon the earth are in the family of God. All brothers and sisters in Christ. And there is a relationship between the members of the family of God. We should certainly be closer and be able to get along better with someone who's saved than someone who isn't. And whether they know all the truth or not, that's not the issue here. They're in the family of God. They are brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, a family, of course, is a group of people related to one another by birth or by marriage. And the family of God, of course, is related and connected in Christ. There is no stronger bond than Jesus Christ, because that is a bond, of course, that cannot be broken. The verses that we read here, again, in Galatians 6 and the book of Ephesians chapter 2, are not speaking of the entire family of God. They are speaking, though, of a certain segment of the family of God. Not speaking of those who have died and gone unto glory. Not even speaking of those that are saved and outside one of the Lord's churches. These verses are speaking to those who make up, in this case, the churches of Galatia and the church at Ephesus. So in both verses, this segment of the family that makes up a household of God, a household can be described as those who dwell under the same roof and therefore compose a family. Now, again, there is a clear distinction between a family and a household. Everyone's family here tonight is made up of several households. There are several households in our families. And though family, of course, implies kindred and lineage, a family does not have to dwell in the same household. You have aunts and uncles or different households. You have children that are grown and they're married and so on. They all have their own households. They're in family, but there's a closer segment of the family unit, and that is those who make up a household. Now, we know that a family can be separated by miles and miles. A family can be totally out of touch with one another. We probably all have family members that we haven't talked to or seen in years, and some, if they're standing next to us, we might not even know it. So we can be a family and be very separated. But that's not the case in a household. A household, everyone is dwelling under the same roof. And a household is the most, or should be, the closest and the most intimate part of a family. And I believe Jesus teaches this. If we turn over to the book of Mark, chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, verses 7 through verse 9. Lord speaking upon the subject of marriage. He says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother." That is, he will leave the household of his father and mother. They remain his father and mother. But he leaves them, and he cleaves to his wife. That is, they have established a new household. Still have a family, but they have established a new household. There's a different relationship now. He has left father and mother. Does not have the same relationship. And he cleaves to his wife. And the word cleave there simply means he adheres to her firmly, closely, and loyally. More closely, more firmly, and more loyally than he did to his father and mother. This is a closer relationship. They have a household. This is a more intimate relationship. Verse 8, "And they, twain," that is husband and wife, "shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain or two, but one. What therefore God hath joined together." Now this is a household. Marriage, there is a household. What God has joined or combined or united together. So there are two important words to consider here when we're looking at a household. That is the word cleave and the word joined. And each, though we all have family, our household should be the closest unit of all of our family, that our own particular household. Now, a household consists of a greater oneness. It does not say that son and daughter, father and mother are one. It doesn't say that. It says he leaves father and mother, and he and his wife become one. So there is a greater oneness in a household than there is in the rest of the family. That's also true when we're talking about the household of God. There is a greater oneness in a local body of Christ, a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, than there is in the rest of the family. It doesn't make the others any less of the family, but it's different. And there is a greater oneness in the household. There's a greater love. There's a closer fellowship. You have a closer fellowship within your household than you do the rest of your family. There's a different kind of fellowship. There's a closer fellowship. And though we can have fellowship with many in the family of God, it's not the same, or should not be the same, as the fellowship we can have within the household of God. You think of a household, you think of education as well. You have a household, there's teaching that goes on. You don't teach your whole family, that is aunts, uncles, and everyone, but you're responsible to teach your household. And that is true also, speaking of a church. So a household should be a home. Every household should be a home. Now, it's sad today, but many do not have much of a home. But a household should be a home. And when it comes to the household of God, there should be no home like it. It should be a home. A home is, again, a lot of things would come to each one of our minds when we think of home. But a home should be a place of warmth. You can have warmth in the entire family, but it's not the same as home. That's true also of the household of God. You can have a warmth and a tenderness with the family of God that's scattered all around, but it's not the same as the warmth and the tenderness that should exist in the household. In a household, there should be appreciation. You should appreciate those in your house, a greater appreciation for those who make up the household than those who make up the rest of the family. There should be respect. Can't have a home. Cannot have much of a household without these things. There should be commitment. When a man or woman gets married, they are to commit their life to that individual. Doesn't mean that they no longer love their mother or father, but they have a commitment to their spouse that is greater than the commitment to any other member in that family. May I say, even the commitment between husband and wife is greater than the commitment between mother and child and father and child, or should be. Because there's no other relationship upon earth where two become one. So that should be the closest. So when we come to a household, there's a commitment. So there's a special relationship that belongs to a household. It is a relationship that exceeds all other relationships. It is a relationship that exceeds the family of God. And I believe as you go through the New Testament, basically beginning with the book of Acts, you can see this household. And you can see that there is a closeness, that there is an intimacy that does not exist anywhere else. And the word together, we're going to look at some verses tonight that have the word together, all in church relationship. And the word together conveys the idea of proximity, of course. You can't be together unless you're in the same proximity. It speaks of companionship. It speaks of a close association. Speaks of that which is united, that which is related, that which is in conjunction. Speaks of a partnership, the idea of cooperation. When I think of together, I think of side by side. Side by side. That's what a household should be. Side by side. That's what the household of God should be. Side by side. When I think of together, I think of hand in hand. And that's what a household should be. Shoulder to shoulder. And again, that's what a household should be. But we're not talking tonight about our individual households. We're talking about the greatest household in all the world, in all the earth. And that is the household of faith, implying that we all believe the same thing. The household of God, implying that He is the head, and that He is the one who has brought this household together. He is the one who creates the household. He does this by adding to His churches as it pleases Him. So I want to just think of a few things tonight concerning this word together as it appears in church relationship. If we turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2. And verse 44. It's talking about the church here, and all that believed were together, side by side, hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder. All that believed were together. They were in the same place. And we read they had all things common. So there was a common belief. There was common experiences. And everyone who grows up in the same household has some things in common. Can't help it. You have common experiences. You have things in common. And when we talk about a household of God or a household of faith, the church, there isn't anywhere where we ought to have more in common with people than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to have more in common with the people of Home Baptist Church than we do anybody else in all the world. In the book of Acts chapter 4, book of Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled, where they were gathered, congregated together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Here we see the church was gathered together. And there shouldn't be anything like the gathering of a household of faith. There shouldn't be anything that brings us more joy than gathering in the household of faith, gathering in the household of God, to be able to come away from the world for an hour or two and be with the people that we should have the most in common with, the people that we appreciate the most, the people we respect the most. That's what a household should be. It ought to thrill our hearts to be assembled together. That's why I have a very difficult time understanding, and I have to admit I don't try too hard either, but why people would rather go everywhere else but the household in which God has put them in. A household of faith. A household of God. Gathered together. Gathered together for the same purpose. Gathered together for the same reasons. Congregated together. So we see the church here is assembled. Then notice in the book of Acts chapter 12, the book of Acts chapter 12, And we'll read verse 12. When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together. Now they're doing the same thing that they were doing back in Acts 4, verse 31. They were gathered together praying. Again, together, side by side, praying. Hand in hand, praying. Shoulder to shoulder, praying. That's a household of faith. That's a household of God. Here we see the church together, the church united, the church joined. And what are they doing? They're praying. We all have so many things to pray for, so many things to pray about. And out in the world, there aren't many that you can get with and pray. There aren't many. Now, if you meet a child of God's family, you ought to be able to pray with that individual. I believe sons and daughters of God ought to be able to pray together, whether they are in total agreement theologically or not. They, being a brother or sister in Christ, we ought to be able to pray with them. But that being said, that's not the same thing as praying with those who are of our household. Not the same thing at all. There is a different kind of praying that ought to take place in the household. Notice along those, we'll come back to the book of Acts, but along the lines of being together and praying, in Romans chapter 15, Romans 15 and verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together. That ye strive. That indicates labor. That indicates work. That indicates earnestness. That ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. The household of God ought to strive together in prayer. That is, side by side, hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, striving together, praying for the same things. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11. Again, along these lines of praying. Ye also helping together by prayer for us. We all need help. There isn't anyone here that does not need help. There isn't anyone here that does not need the help of the Lord. There isn't anyone here that does not need the prayers of God's people. I appreciate it anytime anybody says they're praying for me. Even if they're lost, I appreciate the thought. And who knows, if they offer up a word, the Lord might hear. So I appreciate it. But there's something special. There's something extra special in knowing that those who are of the household are helping you by praying for you. And therefore, we ought to all be praying for one another. So we see here that they are together and they are praying. In Acts 20 and verse 7, we see the church is together again and they're breaking bread. That is, they have common bread. It means they're sharing. Again, it speaks of that which they have in common. And again, we would say that there shouldn't be anybody in the earth that we ought to have more in common with than our brothers and sisters in Christ that make up the household in which God has placed us. That's the people that we have the most in common with. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, if you ever notice in a household, people that make up a household tend to think alike. They tend to think alike. And I suppose as long as they're thinking right, there's nothing wrong with that. But that is even more so in the household of God. Notice in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly, that is, absolutely, completely, entirely, and totally joined, united, together. Perfectly joined together in the same mind. That is, in the same thought process. And in the same judgment, which I take to mean conclusions. Those of a household ought to think alike, and even if they don't think alike, they ought to come to the same conclusions. Especially the household of God. In the household of God, we ought to be perfectly joined together in the way we think. And then we ought to come to the same conclusions. When I go out into the world, I don't find a whole lot of people. I mean, I got to look long and hard to find anybody that I agree with on anything. It's hard to find people that you agree with in the world. It's hard to find people even in the family of God that you agree with. But when you come to the household of faith, in which God has placed you, there you'll find a people that you are one in the way you think. You are one in your conclusions. And that's wonderful. And that's what adds to the fellowship of a household. Then notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered. That is, God has mingled, God has harmonized, God has proportioned the body. Talking about the church here, but the same is also true of the physical body. He has tempered the body together. So again, we see that a church has been mingled together by God. Now, if God mingles something together, that's special. If God harmonizes something together, if God does the proportioning and brings things together, that's special. This isn't something that man has brought together. And you look at Home Baptist Church or you look at any church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something that man has brought together. Something that God has mingled together. And that makes it a special place. Why didn't God mingle you somewhere else? Because He had a special place for you here. So that makes it, the household is extra special. It's tempered together. Notice the same thoughts in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 21 and 22. In whom all the building, talking about the church, fitly, harmoniously, framed or bound and weld it together. The church is fitly framed together. Who does the framing? God does. So we're talking about a household that has been welded together by God. That makes it special. Verse 22, in whom ye also are builded, integrated, there it is again, together, integrated together, for, which implies a purpose. So when God builds a household, he does so for a purpose. And that's what the word for is telling us. It is for a habitation, a dwelling place of God through the Spirit. God builds this household, and it becomes a dwelling place of God, a special dwelling place of God. Now, I believe all the Lord's churches are dwelling places of God. But I can go to other churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. They may believe the same thing, and no doubt God is present, but it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. It's not my household. Just like you can go to someone else's house and you can feel comfortable, you can enjoy yourself, but I don't care how comfortable you feel, I don't care how much you enjoy yourself, it's not the same as home. It's not the same as your household. And that is also true with the church. We see also in Philippians chapter 1, Philippians 1 and verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Notice in the latter part of the verse that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together. Again, we see this word together all in every one of these verses. Here we've seen the church already striving together in prayer. Now we see them striving together for the faith. And that's talking about doctrine. That's talking about belief, truth. Striving together, that is side by side, hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, for the faith of the gospel. There again, you have a household in agreement. A household in agreement has to doctrine. Again, there's nowhere on earth that you should be more in agreement than in the household where God has placed you. In the book of Colossians, chapter 2, book of Colossians, chapter 2, in verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together. Be knit, that is, drawn together, fused together, merged together, blended together. That's a household in love. And again, we ought to love our brothers and sisters in Christ and all the family of God. But it's not the same as the love that exists in the household. There is a special drawing, a special blending together in love in the household of God, in the household of faith. Then notice verse 19. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together. Knit together. Together. Again, drawn together. And a household ought to be more and more drawn together as time goes on. Experiences ought to draw a household together. Common needs ought to draw a household together. And that is also true when it comes to the household of God. The household of God ought to be becoming more and more and more knit together all the time. Churches ought to be getting closer and closer, more tightly joined than ever before. They ought to feel the need of such. In the times in which we live, you ought to feel more of a need today to be in the household of faith in which God has placed you than you ever have before. Because we're being drawn closer and closer and closer together. And each time someone experiences a sorrow or a grief or a joy, whatever it might be, all of those things ought to be drawing the church closer. Closer together. But you know, just like our own households, some households are more closely knit than others. No doubt about that. But we ought to desire to be, I would think that anybody would desire to have a more closely knit household even than they do now. And that certainly ought to be true in the household of faith. And things happen. Things happen in our households that can pull a household apart or draw it together. In fact, a lot of times, the things that happen is going to do one or the other. Pull a household closer together or pull it further and further apart. But any time a household is being pulled further and further apart, something's wrong. The members of that household ought to stop and do some evaluating. What's going on here? Are we going to allow this to continue? And that's true in the household of faith, even more so. We cannot afford for a church to go further apart. And it happens today because people are busier than they've ever been. People have more to do than they've ever had to do before. They have more places to go than they've ever had to go before. And God's people are getting more and more knit to the world and less knit to the household of faith in which God has placed them. So everything that happens, good, bad, whatever it is, ought to draw the household closer together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Wherefore comfort is console, sympathize, support, reassure. That's what comforting is. Comfort yourselves together. That's where God's people ought to find the greatest comfort, together with those of the household of faith. I'll be honest with you. If I need comfort, I don't want to be around my lost family. I'm not going to get much comfort there. They may mean well, and they may try, but they can't. Because we're from two different worlds. They can't. But those of the household of faith, comfort together and edify one another, that is, cultivate one another, uplift, encourage one another. And that's what ought to take place all the time in the household of faith. No matter what we do in the household of faith, even if we have to go to somebody and rebuke them, it should be for the purpose of edifying them, of lifting them up. They have to be corrected. And then you try to lift them up. And then lastly, Hebrews chapter 10, very familiar verse. Verse 25. Again, put all these things together concerning the household of God, concerning the household of faith. And this is what all that ought to lead us to do. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I'm sorry, not in an apologetic way, but I do not understand why people would rather be with their lost family on an anniversary or birthday than being together with those who make up the household of faith. Amen. I don't understand that. I'll never understand that. I would like someone to explain to me how you can even justify such a thing. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. There isn't anyone we ought to want to be together with more than those who make up the household of faith. Those who make up the household of God. Well, if I don't go to that family get-together, they're going to get offended. Don't you realize that you're a stumbling block when you do that? You're a stumbling block to them because they ought to have enough courage to ask you, isn't it Sunday? Don't you go to church on Sunday? They ought to have the courage to ask you that. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. We ought to want to be together with God's people whenever it is they assemble together. As the manner of some is, it becomes a habit. It becomes a habit to forsake the assembling of ourselves. Ever since the Lord has shown me church truth, I've always wanted to be in God's house, and when I say God's house, I mean one of His houses. Not just a church with the name Baptist on it. That's not going to work. I've always wanted to be in God's house on God's day. Preferably, the household that God has put me in. Now, if you cannot be in the household of faith that God has placed you in, then you ought to find one that is closest to it, that has most in common with it. People say, well, I found one, but it's an hour away. Drive the hour. Don't have a problem driving an hour to a lake. I don't care if it's 5 hours away. Get up 5 hours early and drive. It ought to be worth it. It ought to mean that much to us to make sure that we are in a household of faith. Oh, how we ought to thank God. Not only that God has saved our souls. If you're here and saved, you ought to thank God every single day that God saved your soul. But there is an elect within an elect. God not only chose to save me, He also chose to put me in one of His churches. And the church that He has put me in is the best possible place for me on this earth. Until He moves me, there's no better place. That's true of each and every one of us. Until God Himself moves you, there is no better place for you to be than God's house with God's people. So I pray that we would appreciate those who make up the household of faith. And we would always strive to be drawn closer and closer and closer. closer together. You know, in a household, there's always disagreements. There's always things that cause conflict. But a household has a way of getting past all of those things. They just have a way of getting past it. That's true in a household of God. Will there be differences? Of course there will. If you have two people, there's differences. I differ with myself sometimes. If you're by yourself, you don't always get along with yourself. But you get over it. In the household, you get over it, and you go on. And that's how it is in a household of God. Yes, there'll be disagreements. There'll be conflicts from time to time. But when it's time to come together, all disagreements, all conflicts put aside. And a household has a remarkable ability of just coming together. And that's how a church ought to be. And we're thankful that that's the case.